But let's go back east and bring in one of the top sports writers, I think, in the country. He's from ESPN. We've known him a long time. That is Howard Bryan. Howard, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Marty. Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, yeah. You're in the afternoon already. Well, where are you anyway?
I am in Washington, D.C., and doing a little multitasking. I went over to go see Dusty the other day. Mets, Dodgers. They've got the Padres today, so I may zap over and see them tomorrow before I head out, just to sort of get a look as we start to get into what I like to refer to as separation time. We're a couple of weeks away from that, but we're going to start finding out who can play and who can't play and who's built for 162 and who's going to start to fall apart. It's kind of my favorite time of the year, actually.
Yeah, I love it. Howard Bryan with us. Coming out of the break, I always say within the first couple of weeks out of the break, you're going to see some separation. I think the White Sox are going that way, and I hate to say it, but the Giants coming out of the break are not playing much better. What's your take on the Giants back east there?
Well, my take on the Giants is that I never worry about them. I really don't, and I think that when you struggle, and even last night's game, okay, they did get outplayed. Did they get outplayed? Sure, they did. Did they not? You know, Crawford doesn't have a game like that. He hasn't had a game like that in a year. Was it one of those types of games where you're looking at that and you say, okay, these are the types of games that are going to define you going forward as to whether or not you're sort of built for, you know, what it takes to win? But, yeah, but here's the way I look at it. These are the types of games that, on balance, the Giants have won. These are the games that the Giants are known for winning. And so, okay, you're in a tough stretch right now. But whenever you're in a period like this, one of the things that I always try to refer to is, okay, what do you do best? And can what you do best get you out of your worst periods? And in the Giants' case, they can pitch and they play defense. And unless you're going to assume that what they do best is not going to sustain them for the next 4 or 5 weeks, then yeah, you panic. But I don't think that. I think that those two constants are going to turn that around for them. Do they maybe need to make a deal depending on, you know, how Pence is doing? And do they really feel like, okay, what we've got right now is going to be enough? Maybe not. But I think that what they do best is going to come back and come back in a pretty big way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the biggest problem with them right now, Howard with us, is, you know, pitching and defense. And defense is part of pitching. And the defense really has been awful here over the last couple of weeks. And the starting pitching has sort of come back to earth a little bit. But as I say, things come back eventually. The toughest part, Howard, for this team is I know they want to make a trade. They want to, you know, upgrade the bullpen. I think they're concerned about what's going to happen offensively if these people don't come back right away. But you can't make trades based on that because these people will come back eventually. And I think that's the biggest issue they have.
Well, I don't know. I think that's sort of where that's where I sort of disagree. I sort of feel like that's where, you know, that's where you make your money as a GM. And I always feel like, you know, your gut will tell you what you think you're going to get. Now, they're not going to tell the public what they honestly believe. But I tend to think that Bobby and Sage and the brass over there, I think they have a pretty good idea of how badly they feel they need to make a deal. And I think you're going to see that based on what effort they make over the next, you know, week or so. But sometimes you also need to make a deal if you feel like you need a spark. And sometimes you need to make that deal simply because you feel like, okay, we've kind of hit a bit of a malaise, and we need somebody who also is in a position where, you know, changing teams for them is going to get them maybe from a team that's not going to make the playoffs to a team that has a chance to win the whole thing. And as much as we talked about the Cubs and as much as we, you know, you look at the other teams out there, I know they've got a great differential, but as of right now, this whole thing is a toss-up.
Yes.
So even though the Giants have lost six in a row, you know, I still feel like it's way too early to make any sort of grand statement on the negative side. But I do think that if you feel like you can improve your team right now, I do still feel like you should always be going for it. So I think they need to make a deal. I think they need a hitter. I think, but I also don't feel like you're looking at this and going, okay, you know, if they come out of this awful stretch, then it's done. It's not done by a long shot.
No, they've lost six straight, and They've lost 2.5 to the Dodgers. They still lead 4 over the Dodgers.
And they're only a couple games behind the Cubs. And the Cubs are supposedly, you know, they're the benchmark for everybody. I mean, they've got it. I think their differential is almost twice the Giants. So, you know, they can hit. You know what they can do. But the bottom line is that in a short series, is there anybody that you fear that the Giants couldn't take with their pitching? And the answer for me is no.
Well, all right. Well, Johnny Cueto goes today. Jeff Samardzija was due today, but they flipped it. And Cueto does go today in New York, and that's against Nova for the Yankees. Howard, looking at Miller and Chapman, and it's been, of course, the topic of conversation out here because Sabian and Evans and Larry Bear said, well, if we're going to do anything, we want to make an impact move. Well, there's only a couple of impact pitchers out there for the bullpen. They're not really looking at starters. What do you think is going to happen with Miller and Chapman? The Yankees are playing a little bit better now.
Well, this goes back to the conversation that we tend to have every year when you start looking at the new world of second wild cards and what makes a buyer and what makes a seller. If I'm the Yankees, I'm not a seller because you got a second wild card. If you're looking at the American League, and you know, you're only 6.5 out of first place in your own division. Never mind, you've got 2 wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth would you feel like you would have to get rid of these guys unless you're looking at, you know, you're looking at the long haul and you're saying, okay, we're old, we need to get young, we have a terrible farm system, we're just going to tank the year and just figure we're not going to get there this year. I don't like that as a fan. If I'm a fan, I'm really upset about that. But that's the only reason why you would even make that deal, because today's new world, which is what I don't like about it, I understand that it's great for the fans and it creates interest, but it also creates a sort of mediocrity too, because the Yankees are 2 games over 500, and that's as good as they've been all season, yet they're in the playoff hunt. So what do you make of them?
I agree. And today could be the second time they'll have a shot to go 3 games over 500. Well, the Giants went through Fenway and got caught in the mixmaster of what's going on there. What was your take on Boston and the Giants?
Well, I thought it was going to be way better than it was. I mean, I thought that, and I don't think the Red Sox are that good. I really don't think anybody's that good. I think that it was one of those series where you would tend to think that, you know, you got 2 teams who could actually meet in October, and it really was a dud. And I, you know, tend to chalk that up to the fact that the Giants simply, you know, came out of the box not playing very well. But when you're looking at the Red Sox, they're in a 3-headed monster as well between Toronto and Baltimore. You spend all this money to get David Price, and he really hasn't been the answer. And that's why this period of time is sort of my favorite period, where if you're going to start separating, then the guys that you got are going to have to take you there. And I still think that Toronto is probably the best team, but not by very much. And it's going to depend really on whether David Price pitches like an ace, who's going to be your ace down the stretch. And the Red Sox look like they've got all the tools, and they look like they should be up by several games, but they're not. So it's kind of, let's just put it this way, Marty. It gets hot at Fenway really quickly when you're not winning like you're supposed to. And if they don't start to really sort of separate themselves from at least Baltimore, I think that the pressure on David Price is going to get bigger than it's ever been in his career.
Boy, fun. Well, great time of year. I agree with you on all this stuff, the excitement of this time of year. And as I always say, in June you figure out who you are. In July the spotlight turns to the front office to make it right and try to do it. I think the complication, honestly, for the Giants, they don't have their whole team out there, and it's tough to project for them what it's going to look like the rest of the way until these guys really are close to coming back, which I think they can project. They're not going to be out for the year, but the issue is for the Giants trying to figure that out and what they really need. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, but you also know when you're short.
Yeah,
and you know that if you're, I mean, like the one guy on that in the rotation that I was never a huge fan of, and everybody loved him, but I never quite got him, was Samardzija. I mean, I was less of a fan of Cueto after he left Cincinnati, And then, you know, he kind of showed me something in terms of his toughness last year, so I sort of backed off of him. But you know when, you know, you see these guys every day, you know what they can do and what they can't do. And sometimes the reason why you don't make a deal is simply because you need to sort of reinforce your original thinking, regardless of what your eyes are telling you as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing you bring up, and we'll move on from this one, the guys who you have are the guys who've got to come through. You know, you can do the fix here and maybe the one boost here, but if the guys you have don't get it done, you're not going anywhere. And I think Sabian has been down that road before. Howard, this is Hall of Fame weekend. Ken Griffey
sure
Jr., Piazza going in. Piazza still has that little slight cloud, I'd say, over him, but it's certainly evaporating. And then a good friend of yours, Dan Shaughnessy, gets the J.G. Taylor Spink Award. And Graham McNamee gets the Ford C. Frick Award. Your thoughts, at least on Piazza and Griffey, and then we'll talk. I want to hear you about Dan Shaughnessy, too.
Well, I think that when you look at a guy, I mean, all of them, every guy, even Griffey to a lesser extent. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. was not tainted by the steroid era in a way that the other players had been. His arc looked a lot more like something we were used to in terms of aging in the game. But, you know, we're in a time of rehabilitation. I mean, look at everybody in the game who is back. You know, Barry Bonds is a hitting coach right now, and Matt Williams was a manager. And so all of the guys that, you know, had gotten tainted by HGH or steroids, it's over. I mean, it seems like it's over. You know, that doesn't mean that the voters feel that way, but the game sort of feels that way. And I think that Mike Piazza is, I look at it this way. Mike Piazza knows what's in the mirror. And if Mike Piazza can deal with what's in the mirror, then that's between him and his conscience, because nobody ever sort of nailed him, but he was never untainted either. So it's that real interesting thing where you're going to look back 10, 15, 20 years from now, and it is a cloud, and there is that sort of weird space that you're in that you don't have with Griffey. And when I think about Griffey, I go back to just how much fun he was. He was really one of the last players that he really was to me, the last superstar that baseball had, not the last great player. Mike Trout's a great player. Pujols is a great player. Bonds is a great player, but the last superstar, the last baseball player that cut across culture, cut across video games, cut across commercials, cut across youth and generation, cut across everything. And I'm fascinated, and it's very sad for me in a lot of ways, that post-Seattle Griffey was never really that Ken Griffey Jr. That the number of years that he played in the game after Seattle were kind of forgotten. A lot of injuries. He wasn't really a big playoff guy. Made it, you know, with Cincinnati once, but that first burst of Griffey was as fun as baseball had been from an individual, you know, from one individual player standpoint, that continued to be untainted. I know people will talk about 98, but 98 is completely discredited now, whereas Griffey, that 1989, him coming in, and then, of course, 95, and just thinking about him being that face of youth, and he really was the sort of next Willie Mays.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy for him. And I think what's fascinating to me about Griffey is that when I talk to people about him, I will ask them, what was his final home run total? And people are staggered that he hit 630. 630! I mean, and it's really not talked about. And I think that's the sort of stuff where you, if you're of a certain generation, you really do feel what's been lost. 630 home runs? It's there is sort of a bittersweetness to it, but I prefer to think about Ken Griffey Jr. scoring from first base against the Yankees in 95. I mean, that to me was, and that was the first year of the wild card as well, and it was magic, and yeah, he was the best guy going.
That was the dash, 1995, and built Safeco. Howard, what about Dan Shaughnessy, one of your colleagues, the Boston Globe? He gets honored with the Frick Award, the Taylor Spink Award, rather.
You know, Dano is one of those guys where you, if you're in Boston, he gets about as much grief as anybody and has for several years. And he's one of those guys that, you know, the way that, you know, some people would, you know, the guys in the Bay had their their guys as well, where they're the face of the newspaper for many, many, many years. And Dan was that in Boston, along with that sort of murderous row they had with Gammons and Will McDonough and everybody who's, all those guys are in the Hall of Fame. The thing that I could say about Dan, for me as a little kid, what, you know, reading the newspaper, he was one of the guys that made me want to get into the business. Mm. You devoured the sports page during those years as a Boston kid during those early years. And when I think about, okay, well, why did you choose the professions that you chose? Devouring the Sunday Boston Globe was one of the big reasons, and he was front and center.
Absolutely. Howard, it's great to have you on as always. And boy, I love your perspective, and I'm with you on the second half stuff. So much happens in the beginning of the second half over the next couple of weeks and the trades. It really does define what then will be the great race to the finish, which is the part of baseball that tells the story.
Exactly, Marty. Well, let's not forget two things. On the one hand, the Giants are still in first place. That's one thing to remember. The second thing to remember is the Oakland A's haven't recovered from making a deadline deal that they thought was going to get them there. So this is some delicate times, and I think one of the things that I love about this time of year is that it's one of the few times when, for all the stuff we talk about with the players, you actually do get a chance to see what the GMs do for their job mm-hmm. and whether or not they're good at what they do.
Well, I agree. Hey, Howard, thanks so much as always, and we'll see you shortly, I hope.
My pleasure, Marty. Take care.
All right, that's Howard Bryan, ESPN. Always the best. Gives you great opinions. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.